are we all this morning, this fine morning? It's all good to see you guys. Welcome to our online community. We're so glad that you can be with us this morning. You know, what I love about having an online platform is the fact that, you know, obviously where there's so many people that are away and with illnesses and things like that, that we're able to access an online platform. And I just want to say thank you to our online, to our tech crew from upstairs to the sound team. Why don't you just give them a hand? They make us look good. They make us sound good. But look, I just want to say thank you for joining with us this morning. And I'm humbled to share God's word with you this morning. As you will notice, Pastor Tony and Cheryl aren't here today. They're online. Wave hello. Wave hello. They're having a great 1 week holiday because, you know, Pastor Tony turned 60 and he needed a holiday just to recuperate from all of the activities that he's had to do during the week. So welcome. I hope you guys are being refreshed down there. Well, I want to delve right in and continue part two of our series of Your Turn, Your Time. Now, you would know as a church, if you've been coming here for a long time or for quite some time, is that we're a series preaching church. Very rare that you will find us to have a one or two topical sermons or theme, and we do this very intentional so that if you're new here today, you'll be able to grab the gist of what we're talking about and what our heart and our vision for the church and everything like that. So, you know, if you haven't listened to part one, which Pastor Tony launched for us last week, Your Turn, Your Time, you can avail yourself on that on our YouTube or our website. So last week, Pastor Tony talked about potential. He talked about potential and drawing on the book and the life of Esther and her story, we are reminded of some simple truths that I want to recap for all of us today. So first one is this. We are living in the time of our greatest potential, meaning we don't want to wait for the if this happens, I will do this. So we're living in the time of our greatest potential. Number two, don't live in the someday of your potential, meaning in every person's time, there are turns. And what we do with our turns determines and affects what happens in our time. Number three, you don't decide your potential, you discover it. Meaning we discover our potential by discerning what God has called and shaped us to be. You and I have a sweet spot, and that this is where we function best. Number four, we cultivate our potential. And that means prepare, prepare, prepare. Just keep showing up, just keep serving, and everything in life is a preparation for life. So that's what we kind of had a recap last week. And, you know, we're not waiting for our time to come or the right time to come. Our time is now. So there's a sense of urgency about time. You know, we've been encouraged to not waste time because time, as you know, is our greatest commodity. Time is something you can never take back. And rather, we need to live with a sense of urgency of what we're doing with our time and how God wants you to live. And it is your turn, your time. So I'm here today to talk about when potential meets purpose. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are here this morning, that your Holy Spirit is hovering around in this auditorium, Lord God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will meet each and every person that's online this morning and that's in this place, that, Lord God, that you will give them a sense of purpose, Lord God, that you will give them a sense of revelation and a reminder of who they are in you. And so we ask for your name to be glorified as I preach this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, every potential needs a purpose. Every potential needs a purpose because there's a difference between your potential and your purpose. You know, you have the potential to do abundance of things, right? But the question each and every one of us need to answer is that, are they your purpose? There is something of value in the season you are in right now. Your life is too valuable to live in a place of uncertainty or confusion. Your life has too much potential for you to live without a sense of purpose. And God's desire for you and I as a child of God is to discover our destiny and to fulfill a God-given purpose for our life in which is unique and tailor-made fit just for you. For Esther, she had the potential to be queen. But her purpose is to save her people. You know, one of the statements that or questions that I come across as a pastor and a leader in church life is this: what is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? I don't really know what I'm doing. I just feel like I'm just going through the motion and going through the things of life, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And can I tell you that I heard that questions and statements so many times? And can I tell you that I can't tell you what your purpose is? It's for you to discover that. Your purpose today is that there is something, there's no secret formula that you don't need for me to tell you. But the formula is in this book. If we open this book, there's so many things in here that tells us our purpose. And to discover our purpose is here. It's in this book. So I would encourage you, if you have no idea what your purpose in life is, it's in this book. It's in this book. Don't live a life thinking, I don't know what my purpose is, and I just keep going through the motion. It's in this book. It's in this book. I can't tell you. I don't have a special, internet connection with God to say, hey, can you tell me what the purpose of God for this person? You know that. And the secret to discovering your purpose is knowing your identity. Now, I've preached about this a number of times, about our identity and knowing who you are in Christ. You know, Esther always knew who she was, right? But it's not until she opened her mouth, she didn't stay silent about her identity, her true identity, because at that time she was coached not to, because she would be disadvantaged. So she opened up her mouth. Until she did that, she wasn't able to walk into her God-given purpose. So I want to remind you today to seek God's presence, to let Him reveal to you and remind you of who you are in Him. Your foundation of who you are, your identity, is found in Christ. You are who God says you are. And this is the key to understanding God's purpose for your life. And from my experience, after you know your identity and who you are in Christ, just keep showing up. Just keep walking. Just keep serving, even if you don't feel like it. I've been in this church for a long time, and I think I've never had a chance. I think the only thing that I didn't get involved in is men's ministry. And even then, I still want to work my way down there and says, oh, look, I'll just cook around behind the scenes. But I just keep showing up. And I know a number of you have done that. You've been here for a while. You just keep showing up. You just keep serving. You just keep being faithful. You just keep being fruitful, even in your frustration. Just keep showing up. Don't give up. Because in those times and in those moments, God will reveal to you your purpose. And just because you don't think that you're doing the thing that God is calling you to do right now, that doesn't end there. Faithfulness is such a key to the purposes of where God wants you to get through in life. So, can I encourage you today not to lower your theology about God to match your pain, to match your anxiety, or your confusion about what you're supposed to do for Him? Anchor yourself in God's word and His goodness and His faithfulness. Wherever God has placed you right at this time, celebrate that. Don't go thinking that there's something greener on the other side, because there isn't. The grass is greener where you water it. So it's the same with church. The church is a place you want to be at, then water it. Yeah. Serve. Be faithful. Show up. That is where it is. So He has you for a specific purpose in this place, in this moment. And this is your turn, your time. So you see, it's about God's purpose and plan to save His people. That's what, the redemptive plan that for God has wanted Esther to do. But it's not just about our potential opposition in the palace. It is always the plan and purpose of God. We are here for a purpose because you have a purpose. We are here to make a difference in our community, in our workplace, in our home. And God, in His mercy and grace, has birthed you in this moment of time, wherever 19, whatever it is, for me it's 1974, He birthed you in this season, and you're in here for such a time as this, because He needs you to do something significant and something specific. Now, I want to get a little bit of caveat in here, because, you know, sometimes people measure your success by the specific and the significance of the task. But can I tell you that the purposes of God doesn't work that way? God, you know, God's purposes is seen through your daily walk. It's seeing your daily walk of obedience and seeing your daily walk of sacrifice. It's seeing your daily walk of God, of surrender. Let no one ever tell you or label to you that you are just blank. You know, fill in the blanks. You are just A. You are just a mom. You are just a teacher aide. You are just a plumber. You are just a teacher. Do not let anyone label you based on your occupation. It's not the size and the appearance of the title that makes you significant. But it's the one that has called you and ultimately decides that. For Esther to achieve her God-given purpose, she had Mordecai by her side. If you look and if you read through the passages, Mordecai was there for him, for her. You know, Esther was an orphan girl, a Jewish orphan girl, and he took Esther as part of his family, as part of his daughter. So you would know that in that time that it would be something like, I'm teaching you the ways of God. I'm teaching you how, the scripture, preparing her not just for her beauty but for her spiritually. So she was being counseled and coached along the way. But you see, all eyes are on Esther, you know, because she's going to be the next queen. But without Mordecai, she would have fulfilled her God-given purpose to be the queen of Persia. So I say this is that don't despise the people that God has given you to walk with you in your God-given destiny. Your purpose is fully realized by the people you surround yourself with. And that is why I'm so passionate about people thinking that, you know, even us older folks are to make sure you choose your friends wisely. You choose the people that you surround yourself with. You choose the people, young people. If you have people around your world that is not doing the right thing, yes, challenge them, but also know and discern that God has a purpose for your life. Is this people going to be people that's going to be walking to your destiny? Because not everyone that is good to you is good for you. Did you hear that? Not everyone that is good to you is good for you. So I say that to say this: God's purpose and plan will always prevail. Potential needs purpose. But he says in Isaiah 14:24 is that the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. So as I have purpose, so it will happen. God is in the business of giving you his purpose. He doesn't want you meandering. He doesn't want you going through the motions of life and getting to 65, 70, 75, 80, whatever the age bracket is. That then you go, oh, I've just wasted my time. I didn't know what to do. I didn't discover my destiny. You know, the pinnacle of this verse, of Esther's book, is shaped by these words. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. You know, each and every one of you have a royal DNA that you probably don't realize, but you have royalty. I am looking at people here in this place, and obviously online, I'm not seeing you, but I'm looking at people who have a crown on their head. You are kings. You are the son. You are the daughter of the Most High. You have a royal DNA that you know not of, and you have been called for such a time as this. Now, that's just an introduction, okay? That's not my preach, but that's an introduction. And I want to give you a synopsis, a brief overview of what Esther's book is all about. Esther, right? Esther, known as Hadassah. Hadassah is a Jewish orphan. Her mother and father died when she was young. She was raised by her older cousin Mordecai and took her as one of his daughters. She was a Jewish woman living in exile in Persia, but nobody knows that because at that time she was coached to declare not to declare that she was Jewish. There's a king at that time who's a very powerful king, and his name is King Ahasuerus, which is also known as King Xerxes. And he was the king at the time, and he had a queen at the time also, and her name was Queen Vashti. Now, Queen Vashti, as the Bible says, is a very beautiful woman. And because of her reluctance and her disobedience, because she's been asked to come in and parade herself just wearing her royal crown, like the Bible didn't say, but it's alluded that she's just wearing her royal crown because the king was in high spirits, which means he was drunk, and wanted to parade her to all the nobles and the people. And so Queen Vashti said, nah, I am not doing that. No deal, she was saying. I am not going to parade myself and humiliate myself to do that. Can I have the microphone, please? It's just...
Apparently, I've got small ears. Okay, it won't hold. So, you know, Queen Vashti's was banished. She was banished because of that time, you know, everyone had to submit to the king. And so Queen Vashti was banished, but her disobedience towards the king opened the door for Esther to come in. And, you know, one of the things that I love about this book is that it is good to be reminded that big doors swing on small hinges. So the problem now is that, you know, the king has no queen. And so he goes, oh, well, what's going to happen? Like, let's get all, you know, he consulted the people who understood the times. And he's put on a beauty pageant where all the most beautiful girls in the land has been summoned. And it's like, you know, Love Island or, you know, The Bachelor or whatever. Not that you know, if you don't watch that. But anyway, you know, will you take this rose or something like that? But it's more like a fairy tale, this book, you know. And so Esther had to go through and prepare herself 12 months of beauty treatments. Ladies, how would you like to have 12 months of beauty treatments? You know, just one day in the spa will do me just fine. But 12 months, You know, it says in the Bible that 6 months soaking in the oils and the myrrh and everything, and 6 months for all the perfumes. You know, one of the things that grabbed me when I was reading and studying the book of Esther is that, you know, most of us prepare and just rely on the Sunday service to soak on the presence of God. Can I say to you that Sunday is just a snapshot? You're just getting the squirt on the Sunday service. So I'm encouraging you to make sure that you don't just wait on a Sunday to get what's being fed in here, but you soak during the week, that you soak during the week. And when God is saying to you, I want to reveal my purpose to you, but I cannot when you don't have your Bible open. You know, so I really got that when I was preparing and reading this, is the fact that, you know, Esther, to prepare to meet the king, she had to go through this, all of these regimen of beauty treatments. And, you know, there's always a process you and I must go through before the promise comes to pass. And Mordecai continues to counsel her even when she was a queen, and continue to look out for her. And so Esther gets picked, and out of all the beautiful women, to become the queen of Persia. And you know, one of the things that I want to say is this: wherever there's a purpose or a plan or a dream, there's always a scheme. We will see in chapter 3 in Esther is that there's a chief director at the time, and his name is Haman. I called him a bad ham. He's a bad ham. And at that time, he's a chief director, and he's egotistical. He's very prideful. He's a narcissistic person and loves the validation of others. And he's in charge of all the king's nobles. And every day he would walk in the king's courts, and everyone will bow down to Haman and say, yes, you know, you are the most powerful, second most powerful person. But there's one person who did not bow down, and that name, and his name is Mordecai, because he's a Jew, you see. And Jews don't, they only know one God and serve one God, and so he didn't bow down. And so therefore, you know, Haman was enraged, and Haman was very angry, and so he plotted to just, you know, had this hatred for Mordecai, and he just said, that's why I want to kill you, but instead of killing you just by yourself, I'm going to plan and plot that I'm going to scheme that I'm going to annihilate all the Jews. And so he waited for just the right time to get into the ear of King Xerxes and said, you know, there's this people that are not following your ways, and made up some story about it and said, and influenced the king to say, you know, let's kill and annihilate the Jews. I say that because I'll give you a synopsis of that, and, you know, the rest follows for next week's installment of this series. There are three things that I want you and I to grab a hold of today that we can learn from about purpose and in the book of Esther, and this is it here. First point I want to say today is that God works behind the scenes. You know, out of the book of the Bible and even in chapter 1 and 10, God's name is not mentioned in this book, in Esther, in the book of Esther. God's name is not mentioned in the book. God's name was silent. But it doesn't mean that God's absence does not mean that he is not present. His fingerprints is all throughout the book of Esther. And we find also one characteristic of God. You know, as believers in Jesus, we don't believe in coincidences, but we do believe in the providence of God. Now, what does providence mean? Providence is God's moving supernaturally, naturally, meaning he takes the everyday workings of our life and he moves on those things. Pastor Danny, who's, we know that most of you know, is a kind of referred to as a grandfather of this house, he says that when there is no clarity, trust in his sovereignty. And God's providence is all over this book of Esther. You know, God is all over every moment and every movement in the story of Esther. And so he is for us. You may not feel it. You may not understand you may think, God, have you left me? Have you forsaken me? No, he hasn't. Just because you can't hear him or you can't see him doesn't mean that he's not around. His absence, it doesn't mean that he has left you. And, you know, in our life, I'm sure there are so many things that, you know, behind the scenes that we know that, God, where are you in the scene of my life? But God's ways are behind the scenes, and he moves all the scenes that he is behind. And I'm sure if I give you the microphone right now, is that in our life there are things and there are scenes and parts of our life that we don't talk about and that we don't really want to share with anyone. And they're the things that we want to erase or skip. It's the ugly parts. It's the broken parts. It's the brokenness. It's the ugly things. But God is moving behind the scene of your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because I want you to believe that today, that God in his sovereignty is moving. He's ever close to you in your life. And I want to take an opportunity, actually, and this is an intentional thing, to farewell one of our young adults, Jonte. Jonte, this is your last Sunday with us. Can I have the young adults directors and some of his friends to come up? And I want to pray for you because, you know, Jonte, you may see him come and in and around, and he's a quiet person. He's just one of the people that just keeps to himself. But I want to tell you about Jonte. Jonte, he's been in his church for quite a number of years, and then he left, and then he came back, and he just knew that this house is a safe house for him. And so isn't it wonderful when you can come back to a place where you know that you've been heard, you've been seen, you've been acknowledged, and this is what Jonte has. And Jonte has been baptized in here. Has been water baptized. He served in our hospitality. He served in our service team. He's done a good job. He's doing a great job. And you know, he finished when we had the skill in Queensland. He completed. You know, even though it broke him, he completed his certificate too in hospitality. And you know, God. And I want to tell you this, Jonte, is that you may feel you're leaving this place, but you know you're always welcome. This is your house. You know, God has placed you for such time as this, has placed you over this family, over the people that, you know, and most of them are not here today. But I want to tell you that God is moving behind the scenes of your life. And I know you're moving to Perth. That's, you know, what, 4 hours away from, whatever hours it is. But I'm just saying that always believe that though you don't see him, you don't feel him sometimes, that God is all over every story, every movement. And we just want to pray and send you blessings and say that, you know, God protect you. God provide for you. God just reveal his purpose to you. You know, this might be an unknown thing that he's going to go through through circumstances in life you have to move. But, you know, God is with you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for Jonte, Lord Father. We just stand along with him and thank him for the things that he has served faithfully in this church. I pray, Father, that you will protect him, you'll provide for him, you will do things, Lord God, that he may not see. God, I don't know what I'm doing, but he will just be faithful in what you've called him to do. Lord, I pray that he will always be open to hearing your voice. The voice, your voice is louder, that it can become louder than his anxiety and louder than anything, Lord God, that the enemy might call. But I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will surround him.
Yes.
And good friends and good people that would help him propel and find his way in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All the best. And, you know, we'll be praying for you continually. So always, you know, don't disconnect. Just because you're away somewhere doesn't mean that, you know, we wouldn't forget you. So, yeah. Great. Then give him a hand. Be praying for this young man, you know. He's always you know, he's got a few things going on in his life, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we as a church family can continue praying for him. And so, you know, I was talking about that, you know, about Esther. You know, Esther didn't know, but you know, she was a Jewish orphan and her parents died. And, it would have been scary for a young woman, basically, to be taken out of what she's already known, where she's accustomed to, and be brought to a place or a palace that, you know, different culture, different way of doing things, and to essentially become a concubine. That's what it was. You know, she's prepared to meet the king, and so she's been selected. But, you know, God is setting things up behind the scenes to achieve the purpose he had for Esther. And, you know, we need to understand that God is always in control. You may feel out of control. There are times chaos, but doesn't mean that he's out of control. Romans 8:28, this is what it says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. John Tay, that's a verse for you. And we know that all things, you know, the all things, that, and even for us, all the things that is ugly, that's broken, that's not so good to hear, he will work all things for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. We may not always see God's hands in our lives, but he's always there. So can I encourage you that whatever turn you've had in your life, good or bad, that there'll be a time for those things to be used by God and to make something positive, something rich and something prosperous out of that season in your life. I want us to trust God that he will work things out for good. Philippians 2:13, this is what it says. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. There's always a good purpose for you. Nothing can happen without God ordaining it. And God has numbered the days to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill our every purpose in life that he has for us. Second thing I want to share with you this morning is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Now, I said Esther, whose name was Hadassah, came from humble beginnings. She was an orphan Jewish girl. And we can go on to say that she probably felt, you know, unqualified to be the next queen of Persia. But she realized at that time that her past is not her present. You know, she may come from a difficult family background dynamic, but, you know, but God had planned something extraordinary for her to do. And Esther had a privilege to be in the palace for such a time as this. Esther has not been put in the palace for her pleasure or protection, rather to fulfill God's purpose. Esther was preparing herself to be queen, but little did she know that it was her purpose is more than that. It was God's plan to position her in that palace to influence the king to do something good. Esther understood her God-given purpose to influence the king, and she did just that. And I want to segue around here. You know, for you, for all the young ladies here as well, if I could say, young adults, you have been given a special gift. Do you know, as women, all the women, you have a great asset to influence people, especially the men in your life, you know, or whatever. But you have this influence going on. That's happening. And I can see TJ agreeing with me. But can I just say that influence, that beauty, that thing that you have going on and whatever that God has gifted you, don't parade that or be prideful about that for your pleasure. Rather, use it for a privilege to do good. There's this thing, I don't know whether you've watched this movie called My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Yeah? imagine this number three going on, but Nia Valdos says this, the man may be the head of the household, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head in whichever way she pleases. Ladies, you have an influence, and use that influence to do good, not to do evil. I'm not going to go to the Adam and Eve story, but you know what happens there. According to the scripture, I'm going back, that's a segue, is this Proverbs 19:21. You know, Esther didn't think, you know, she had a plan. She probably had a plan to just, look, I'm just going to go to Jerusalem, just going to, like, you know, do something there, just whatever I need to do. She had a plan, right? But many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 16:9 says this, you can make your plans, but the Lord determines your steps. God's plan and purpose for your life will always prevail. Whether you made a detour, whether you made a roundabout, whatever, God's purpose will prevail over your life. The thing is this, your privilege is not for your pleasure, but for your God-given purpose. So whatever you have, it's a privilege. Don't use it for your pleasure, but for your God-given purpose. And, you know, I want to say this, and I was like, I had you in mind when I was being Mia, is that you have plans, you have things that's going on in your head, but, you know, God's purpose will prevail for you. You may not like, I don't know whether you do, but like the place, the school that you're in right now, but you know what? God has placed you in that perfect position, because you may think, oh yeah, I'm a teacher, I'm a history teacher, and you're very good at that, by the way. But you know, there's students in that school that need your personality and your poise and your face to do what God. You have an ability to say something to one of the students that will open up and reveal to them the purposes of God. And I really believe that. Just be faithful. Just keep continuing. And I, you know, and I was praying for you, and I just think, God, you know, there are so many things like that, that sometimes we're in a place that we're in, like, you know, God, I'm here at church. I'm working in church. What's my purpose in church? I'm just there in a corner of the office. Who do I don't really see anyone, but God has a purpose. You have a purpose. Pauline, when your art and your beautiful paintings and everything, you have a purpose. Those pictures, those paintings speak 1,000 words of life to the people that come across that. And, you know, there are, and I want you to, each and every one of you, to realize that you have a purpose, that it's not just a coincidence that where you are at. Colin, you have a concreting business. You may be laying concrete, but you have a purpose. You are laying a foundation for people's lives, and you're laying a foundation for people to open up to God. You have been put in that business for such a time as this because God has a word or something for you to be encouraged by, or someone. You know, it's all in that. God weaves through the scenes of your life. No matter where you are at, you are not just you know, fill in the blanks. Number three, and I'm going to close with this. Prayer, it should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but a privilege to be enjoyed. Who loves talking? They say women have more words to dispense, but I don't know about that. I think there's some men that can outdo us, I just say. But you know, prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is not just pompous thing where you have to go, oh, Lord, please, you know. It's not that. It's just talking to God. It's a relationship to God. And that, you know, this in the book of Esther, you know, prayer is important in that, as we see unfold, is that prayer should always be our first response to every situation. We see in Esther 4, where Mordecai asked for the Queen Esther's help. you know, there's a plot to annihilate the Jews. And the scripture says in Esther 4:14, it says here that she was deeply distressed. I'm going to read it to you because it was so good. It says here she was, where Queen Esther's maid and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. And he tries to send clothing to Mordecai and everything, but that wasn't working. So, and then Esther learned more about the plotting of the Jews and Mordecai's request for her to approach the king and beg for mercy. And you know, fear crept in. Fear crept in her heart, and she said this, you know, verse 11. Just read that in there. And I'm going to read it here in my Bible. It says here that all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. So this is what the transpiring, like they're having discussion, because remember, Mordecai couldn't come and talk to Esther face to face. There was this barrier and there was this messenger that comes along. But fear and discouragement will always come knocking at your door. Whenever God has a purpose and a plan for you, there's always going to be a schemer that's going to plot and going to say, you know, I'm going to destroy, I'm going to annihilate, I'm going to do something to discourage you. So fear and discouragement are the two things that often comes when God tells us to do something. And the thing about fear is that there's a false evidence appearing real, but, you know, you can acknowledge the fact that I have fear, but fear doesn't have me. Fear is a natural human response. It's okay to fear, but you've got to realize and acknowledge that, yes, you have fear, but fear doesn't have a hold of you. Whatever's going on in your life right now and whatever things that's coming your way, you know, God is reminding you today to do not fear. So the thing is discouragement. Discouragement is not because of your circumstances or your conditions. They may be the contributing factor of discouragement, but they are not the deciding factor. It's a conversation. You know what discouragement is? It's a conversation that you and I have in our head. It's a conversation that we listen to, that we take precedence and we go, oh, yeah, see, this is not what's going to happen. You know, this week, can I just say you a little bit of a snapshot of my life? I've actually been sick all this week. No, it's not COVID. But I'm just saying to you that I had the flu and I could not shake this off. Even this morning, I had a bit of a dizzy spell and I had blacked out. And I didn't think, God, I cannot do this. I will not be able to preach. I will not be able to do it all. We'll just have an extended time of worship. But, you know, it was this dialogue. It was this discouraging thing that I'm going, you know, well, you know, no one's going to hear it anyway. No one's going to, you know, someone's asleep down there. And, you know, this woman, she's just looking at me thinking, what on earth are you talking about? There's this discouragement things. There's a conversation that happens in our head that we often listen to. And, you know, in life, we will always have that. We will always have fear and we will always have discouraging moments. And the problem is we spend too much time listening to ourselves than talking to ourselves. You know, this morning I had this shirt on called I Have Decided, and I was talking to them. We had a pre-prayer meeting and to the team, and I just said, I have decided that no matter what's going on, that God will be in this place, that God will minister to people, that God in his way, in his grace and mercy and his sovereignty will touch people today, online, anybody. Because I might be preaching God's word now, but there's something else going on in your head, thinking, okay, what am I going to have for lunch? Or hurry up, it's like 10:17, you need to get off the stage. You know, stuff like that. Like, you know, we just need to listen to God more and to banish those discouraging thoughts that often comes in. So verse 14, let's get back to the story here. Verse 14, you know, so you can only imagine, you know, Esther told that to Mordecai to send for that, that that's her answer. But then Mordecai sends back an answer and says this, back and forth, it says, verse 14. Do not think that because you are in a king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Basically, Mordecai is saying, and is suggestive, is that basically telling Esther that it was her turn. It was her turn. And it was her time. Basically, Mordecai is saying, hey, wake up to yourself. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget the fact of who you are. A human king may not have called you for 30 days, but doesn't mean a heavenly king has not. And some of us here need to hear that today. Your boss or whatever's happening in your world, whatever it is, someone, a human king, may have not called you, but doesn't mean that a heavenly king has not called you and tell you it's your turn, it's your time. It's your time to not be silent. It's your turn. It's your time to not be mediocre. It's your time to shine. It's time to reveal your identity now. Can I suggest to you that there will be times in your life where trouble will come in areas where you will be tested in. That's part of a natural thing of life in following God. There will be times that you will be tested and fear will come as a natural response. But Isaiah 41:10, this is what it says in a promise to you, is that, so do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Who is with you? God is with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Can I say this? Prayer is not a button to be pushed. It is a relationship to be pursued. You cannot dial a prayer like you dial pizza. You cannot, you know, basically, it's not Domino's. Okay? But prayer is a pursuit that we need daily. We need to pray daily. It is, and I'm still learning this because, you know, as a person who's human, yes, we're all human, but there are times where I will go on my phone rather than go to the throne. I will ring up my friends to ask, help me. Whereas I need to really go to the throne of God and approach Him and say, help me. Don't wait for a crisis to come before you kneel to the King of Kings. A famous quote by Corrie ten Boom says this, is your prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Who is steering your life? Is it prayer or is it problems? Prayer is a powerful weapon and that we have when we face battles. And there are things in life that you will need to fast from. Now, I want to just show you something here in verse 15 in chapter 4. And you can only imagine the discussion goes backwards and forwards. Something has shifted for Esther between the passing of discussion for fear, discouragement, to boldness and authority. Look what she says in verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. We see here the importance of prayer and fasting. And as a church, we practice that. We practice that and we normally let you guys know when that is. And so, you know, I have a challenging relationship from fasting because I love my food. Anyone else love their food? Yes. And I love my food, and sometimes, oh God, I can pray, but I don't know about fasting. But you know, there are just some things in life that you need to fast from, because fasting is about denying your flesh. It's about denying, and fasting is about fastening your heart towards God. And you know, there are times, and I've noted in here, that Esther called a fast. She didn't order something that she wasn't prepared to do herself. Note, there are times where God will call you to fast by yourself, but there will be times where God will call you to fast with people that will stand with you and for you, and that's fasting corporately. Don't fight the battles on your own. Esther understood the principle of spending time in God's presence before facing the problems. Your privilege in the palace is not for your pleasure, but for you to solve problems. As we read in chapter 5, you know, as we go on to the story, which will continue on for next week, is that Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court after the third day of the fast. This tells me is that strength and courage comes when you get before the King of Kings. When she put on that royal robe, it was a symbol of knowing who she is and who sent her. And the story goes on to say that she was welcomed by the king, and the king held out his gold scepter. Says, Esther, what do you want? Even half the kingdom I will give to you. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that you need to start putting your royal robe on. There are some people here today, you are still have your robes of despair. You still are wearing your robe of discouragement. You are still wearing your robe of depression and anxiety and all the things that are not good for you to wear. I believe God is telling each and every one of us here today and online that it's time for us to wear the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness which God the Father has made a way for Jesus to come and tell us, you don't need to do all that. The sacrifice has already been done. You know, Esther is like a shadow of Jesus. It's time to put the robe of righteousness on, because in that time you can approach the king with boldness and authority, and he doesn't see the robe of sin that's over your life. He sees Jesus. He sees the robe of righteousness, because Jesus already made a way when there is no way. Became the mediator for us and became the sin who knew no sin to become the sacrifice for us once and for all. You know, Hebrews says this in 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Where does confidence come from? Confidence comes from knowing who you are in God, your identity. You are the child of the Most High God. It says, approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As I close today, I want to give two invitations to not miss your purpose. And the only way for you not to miss your purpose is to know of who you are in God. If you don't know who Jesus is in that personal level, you may have know God, but you don't have that personal, intimate relationship with God right now. that you've allowed the problems and you've allowed the things of this world to overcome you, then while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, let's give some privacy to the people. I want you to right now, God's talking to you right now. Are you in a place where God wants you to be in terms of your relationship with Him? Do you know Him intimately? I want you right now, if that is you, to slip up your hand and say, God, I want to renew my relationship, my prayer life with you right now. I'm not as close as I was to you, God. And I want to reignite that passion. I want to reignite that fire that once was in me, Lord God. While every eye is closed and no one moving around, please. If this is you, why don't you slip your hand right now? And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to help you. The second lot of people that I want to ask this invitation to is that you don't know your purpose in life. And God, in His grace and mercy and His sovereignty, will reveal that to you. And I want to pray for you about that. You know, your purpose of knowing who God is directly linked to the purpose that He has for you over your life, and that is knowing Him. 2 Corinthians 6 says this, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation to renew your passion for God and for your passion to be activated for your purpose. Now is the time. Your time is now. Stop procrastinating, but start doing something. You know, God has plucked you out of eternity, positioned you in time, and given you gifts and talents to serve Him in this generation. What is your time now? What is He calling you right now? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray in this moment of time as we lean into your worship, I pray, Father God, you are the same God that moved back then and that you will move right now. There are people online that still don't know, that still second guessing on what their purpose is. They know it, Father, but fear and discouragement has crept in. I pray in Jesus' name right now, all over this auditorium and online, that you, by your grace and mercy, reveal to them that you are for them and that you will never leave them. That to not be discouraged, because you are for them and in them. And then it is your purpose for them to discover their God-given destiny. Why don't we just stand to our feet right now? And if you are online, I encourage you to just lean in and have a God moment and ask God right in you, right where you are, God, help me to, number one, renew my passion in you, and number two, to let not fear and discouragement overtake and overwhelm me when you have called me to what my purpose is. Let us just sing together and have a God moment.
Children, you hear your children now. You are the same God. You
that we breathe, Father. I pray this moment and this time, Lord Jesus, that your people will discover their God-given destiny and your purpose for their life. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your provision. I thank you, Father God, for your providence, Father God, that you move and weave in the stories of our life, Lord. And I pray that each and every one of us acknowledges and have a revelation that that's what you're doing, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, Father God. We sing this song, you are a way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, Father, and you are the same God. You are the same God who answers prayers back then, and you will answer it right now. Help people today in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great week.